This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Galatians 6 and 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth all good things. I present to you our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Come on and
clap. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this wonderful opportunity to study your word afresh. Meet us in the text, tell her the truth we're teaching. That every hearer's heart not only hear and see themselves in this text and from you, but Lord, give us power to practice the principles we shall receive today, that you might receive the glory and your people the good. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in his presence. Amen. I'm excited about this word tonight because it is an opportunity to equip the saints of God with the power to understand that God has given them everything they need to effect a change in their situation and lifestyles. An immediate change, in some cases, that will make the difference because they understand the principles of what God has to say. On last Wednesday, we asked you the question, are you the one? Out of the 10 lepers who were healed, only one came back and said thank you to the Lord. But I want to ask you tonight as well, are you the one? Because tonight we're going to be talking about atmosphere changers. Atmosphere changers. And I want to know, are you an atmosphere changer? And if you don't know it before we start, by the end of the message, you ought to know if you are or not. Listen, I'm going to share five biblical principles with you concerning the effective atmosphere changer. Five biblical principles to be an effective atmosphere changer. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 through 20 reads as follows. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so we want to talk about atmosphere changes tonight. Now, let me share with you the definition of atmosphere. Very simple definition, but we want to make sure when we talk about atmosphere, we're not just talking about the cosmos. We want to make sure that we're on the same page about what atmosphere is. The definition is a particular environment or surrounding influence. Now, there are other definitions for it, but the one that we're focusing on tonight says a particular environment or surrounding influence. Now, let's look at the word particular, because what it literally means is a specific, a certain, exact one environment. In other words, this is not affecting some place you have no idea it's going to cause or create an effect on. This is not talking about some place in the very distant place where you hoping a change has come, but you don't really know it. It's talking about a specific area. It's talking about an exact place. In other words, it's talking about an atmosphere that has to do with a state or a condition or a place or a time or a thing that is connected with you. It can be the atmosphere of your health, the atmosphere of your finances, the atmosphere of your family, the atmosphere of your job, the atmosphere of anything that has to do with you. So understand, it's specific, it's a certain and an exact area, location, or environment. And not only that, it says surrounding influence. This means either changing or being changed. And one of the things you need to know is you are either being influenced or you are influencing somebody every day in your circle. So don't think that you can be amongst anybody and never have or feel the effect. The changes could be so subtle that you don't really, really, really notice them. It's just like hanging out with somebody who cuss a lot. You're like, man, you ought to cut all that cussing out. You're like, well, that don't affect me. I don't cuss. And then all of a sudden, you stump your toe. You be, I beat. And you're like, oh, man, where did that come from? That's not me. No, but what you didn't understand was all of that talk eased in and subtly convicted you, and so you've heard it so much, and then the application was applicable, so that when something bad happened, that was used, and you knew, and you just fell right on into the flow of that thing. So don't think that you're not being influenced. So that's why you need to stay around positive people. You need to stay around people who are in the direction, if they're not in the destiny of the place you want to go. That's why if you want to be successful, you need to hang out with successful people, read successful literature. I mean, be a part of those things that you recognize consciously that will make a positive impact or influence on your life. If you want to be like somebody, don't hang out with folk you don't want to be like. So keep in mind that you are either being influenced or you are influencing somebody in your circle every day. So that's important to understand that atmosphere includes all of that. Now again, what I want us to realize and recognize is that to be an effective atmosphere changer, you must be one, present. Present. I'm gonna give you five biblical principles here. The first one is present. Turn your Bibles, if you don't mind, to Psalm 16 and 11. And many of us know that verse already. But I want you to see, because what is going to be most important is that we understand how this whole process works, how we understand how the Lord Himself wants us to begin our relationship with Him, and it will affect everything that we are connected with in the earth realm. Well, the Bible says this, thou wilt show me the path of life. I don't really know the path of life outside of God. And the path of life has literally to do with everything from meeting the Lord and being
grown and groomed in His care and in His likeness. If we're made in His image and in His likeness, who better can show us what life is all about than Him? So He will show us the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So understanding that real life begins with having relationship with the Lord and being in His presence. But I want you to look at John chapter 15 right quick, and I want to take you to the New Testament and help us understand what Jesus is saying now. Very similar in this sense that we must understand, again, the importance of having God's presence in one form or the other. Look at what verse 7 of the 15th chapter of John says. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done what? Unto you. Now, when you understand this and recognize this as well, you'll understand that the presence of the Lord, you need to seek to be in His presence first. But when you move from the presence of the Lord in that conscious sense of being in that oneness with Him and that worship with Him, when you go about your day, what is clear is that His words that abide in you from being in study and fellowship with God will reside in you. So that means wherever you go, He's on the inside of you. When you show up, He shows up in you. So the power that you have comes from Him, but it is demonstrated and displayed in every place that you are, thereby being able to influence or affect a change in every situation and condition. His presence, being in that place with Him, is fullness of joy, blessings in His right hand forevermore. When you move about your daily business, He is with you by way of His words. His words abiding in you means you now have the authority to ask Him for whatever you want, and He's going to do it for you according to this word, because He is present in you, and wherever you are present at and need to affect a change, then you have that ability to do so. Listen, when it's cold, you got a choice. You can wait till summer come to get heated up, or go to the thermostat and turn it up. It's up to you. It's going to get warmer sooner or later. But whether you make that effective now or later depends on your ability to know what you have access to and the ability to do. So when you understand this, there are just some things you don't have to wait until whenever. You can begin to do the things necessary to create an effective change now. I want you to see again, let's look at this word. So not only must you be present, but you're going to note point number two is that you've got to be prayed up. Got to be prayed up. And this is communion with God first to ensure you are walking in the will and wisdom of God. You see, what is important about understanding how to be prayed up is spending time with God. Jesus always took time out away from the disciples, and He went and communed with God. He made it His business to spend time with God. He said, I do always those things which please my Father. Well, He wouldn't know what pleases His Father unless He spent some time with Him, having His will revealed to Him afresh and walking in the wisdom of God. Because sometimes what you'll discover is your will isn't God's will, and your way isn't God's way. But when you spend time with God, God makes it ever clear to you what His will is, what His word says, and what His way requires. And so you know how to walk according to the wisdom of God in you by spending time. Being prayed up, God prepares you for things. He shows you things. He equips you so that you are, listen, whenever we make mistakes, I can promise you it's because we aren't prayed up. It's because we've not spent that kind of time with the Lord. Listen, when Jesus Himself needed things to be done, he spent the quality time with God and never made a mistake in his walk with God. And we learn from Jesus himself. If Jesus had to do it, what about us? Look at this. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And in that verse, you will find these words: men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, why is this so important that we should always pray and not faint? Because again, it suggests that we should always be in a spirit of prayer. You see, again, if we spend more time talking to God, if we spend more time fellowshipping and communing with God, we will always be connected with him in the way and in the light that brings about revelation about the things that he has for us, the things he wants to do in us, to us, through us, and for us. And so we will always be ahead of the world and the games of the world, because God will keep us sharpened and our wits about us in that exact sense of knowing how to move and how to operate and how to act and how to react and how to be proactive. He gives all of that information through prayer. And the devil don't want us to communicate with God. And so when we learn that, we'll learn the more we pray, the more stronger we will become. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. We've got to learn how to stay in God's presence. But I want you to see something else. Turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. If we'll go back, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he was sharing some things about, you know, his church. And he was telling Peter, after Peter had received a marvelous revelation of the Lord, that upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. And that rock was what? His word. It was the truth that he was sharing with Peter. And then, again, that truth, that same truth that he was talking about, was important for Peter to realize that Jesus Christ was saying this for another important reason. Verse 19, the first word in that verse is a conjunction in the word "and," which means he's going to build his church upon truth. Now, this truth continues in verse 19, and here's what he says: "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now remember, Jesus is talking truth. He's building his church on truth, he's speaking truth, and he wants us to operate according to truth. Now let's go back, because there are a couple of things I want us to see back in here. He says, "And I will give thee," say "me." Now, who is "me" or "thee" in the text? It is the key keeper. The key keeper. Now, keep in mind, key keeper. If you are the key keeper, then it literally means he says, whatever you bind, lock. Whatever you loose, unlock. You've got the key, which means you can lock and unlock when you get ready, because you are the key keeper. Now listen at this. How many times have you have to wait on other folk to show up for you to get in a place? See, this is what I love about the Lord. It's all right to depend on someone else for certain things as you grow and mature. But once you become mature in the spiritual things, you begin to realize your authority. You begin to realize what God has for you. And recognizing that, you begin to say, wait a minute, wait. I thank God for the brothers and sisters of the faith praying for me, but this is an emergency. I can't wait till Sunday morning. I've got the authority and power of God to speak those things that be not as though they were. I can get this job done on my own. I ain't got to wait till Pastor calls me back, set up a conference with me. I can pray a believing prayer, and with the keys God's given me, enter into this reality and have it done now. Look again, because I want you to see, keys represent power. Represents power, but they also represent something else: authority. Now, the power is in knowing that you have the ability to open up the locks and lock them up when they need to be locked up. But the other thing is knowing that you have the permission, the right. See, just because you got the key don't mean you got the right to use it like you want to. If I give you the key to my house and I say, listen, now you use this. If the alarm come to call you and tell you my alarm going off, you can go in and check and see, make sure. But if they don't call, you don't go up in my house. You got the key, but you ain't got permission to use it like you want. But if I give you a key and say, listen, whenever you want to come, you ain't even got to call. You got free access anytime, day or night. Now you got power and authority. So if I come there and you're there and I get there, I can't say nothing but how you doing. I can't ask you what you're doing there because I gave you power and authority and a key to use it like you want to. This is what Jesus said. Listen, I'm giving you the key, not listen, to my church. He said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Did you hear what I just said? I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. That meant these keys open every door in the kingdom. You crying about this? Why are you crying when you got keys? It'd be different if I gave you a key to my front door and nothing else. But if you got keys that unlock every door in my house, including my safe, I'm trying to help y'all understand what you got, what you got. You got the keys of the kingdom. Everything that's in the kingdom for the believers that Jesus locks and unlocks, open and shut, you've got that same power and authority. So you don't really have to wait on Jesus to do it for you. Here's the sense. Why would I give you keys and then come open the door? I might as well keep my keys if I got to get up and come open the door for you. You know, I mean, I've shared with you 1,000 times. I mean, when I was a young boy and I got the keys, and I mean, I didn't realize, I was excited about them, but you know, there were times I'd go home and I'd ring the doorbell and mom would come to, where's your keys? The first question she'd ask, in my pocket, or I left it in my room, or whatever the case. I had to learn that when I had the key, it meant I had free access and favor to use it like I want. Now, Jesus says, you have that. So, understanding that, then, my brothers and sisters, you should understand how important this word is. Let's go back because I want you to see something else. Now, you've got to be prayed up. But next thing is, in connection with this, is you've got to have power. You've got to be powered up. This is important. Why? What is power? The ability to get things done. The ability to get things done. Now, what's interesting here again is understanding there are two words that I want to pull from this word power that I'm going to give you biblical references for. There are many other words for the use of power, but these two are important because they are directly correlated with our text and teaching tonight. The first one is dunamis, which is from the same primitive etymological root word we get dynamite from, which means explosive power. So the first thing is that there are just some things you can't get done unless you blow it up. Meaning that you have overcoming power. More power than the issue that is a problem. Okay? That's dunamis power. But then there is another word here for power that's energes. And energes is the same primitive etymological root word we get our English word energy from. And that means operative, active, and effective. All right? Now, when you've got power, it means you've got the ability to have an active word that is on the inside of you that will create an effect or a change when you use that word. So listen to this. I want you to look again at the word. Acts 1:8. Here's one of the cases for the word dunamis. And ye shall receive, there it is, power, dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. All right? You need Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. You can't get it done in your natural power. How many times have you tried to do some things, and I mean you tried with all your strength and all your might and just couldn't get it done? It's because some things can't be done, accomplished, and achieved with natural power. It takes supernatural power to overcome a supernatural problem. That requires dunamis power. All right? So having understood that you are in need of Holy Ghost power, you are in need of dunamis power, is not just enough yet. Because also you're going to understand that you're going to use another form of power, again called energis or energy, and that's found, if you will, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And here's what's recorded there. The word of God is quick. That word quick means alive and powerful. Here is where energies comes in. It means active, active. It means operative. It means effective. Now, the word of God is active. The word of God is operative. The word of God is effective. So now what it's literally saying is you've got to learn how to use the energy of the word of God to speak those things that be not as though they were. Why? Because they are active. Genesis 1 gives us the paradigm that God used. He also allows us to know that so we can use that. And God said, let there be, said, let there be. And guess what the Bible says? And it was. Why? Because the word is active. It's active. Listen, it doesn't become active till you speak it, though. That's why carrying your Bible with you under your arm, on your, you know, nightstand, putting it on your dashboard, don't do nothing for you. That's why just reading it don't really activate it. It doesn't become active till you speak it. And so when it becomes active, listen, my brothers and sisters, it becomes operative or put in operation. So when you speak those, which is important to understand why you can't just say anything. Because when it is released into the atmosphere, if it's proper, if it is a positive, the Holy Spirit takes it and begins to construct what you say into reality. In other words, your words create a pattern. And it says, like when women go, or men, whoever, seamstresses and sewers, go and buy a pattern, they expect that the pattern on the inside is going to make that dress or that suit or whatever it is look just like the picture on the outside. When you speak the word, the Holy Ghost takes your word and with that pattern begins to make those things happen just like you said it. So that's why you got to be careful what you say, because you just might get it. I wish I had someone in the house tonight. So it's important to understand everything God said, whoo,